Hello and welcome to the Twickenham CC podcast. My name is Dan Huff and I'm secretary of the club. Very pleased to be with you here this evening with two esteemed guests. To my left, Eugene Berger. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
I'm very well indeed. You?
Yeah, better than Saturday in the morning.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a moment. Yeah, and to my right, somebody else who was at our annual jamboree last Friday, Richard Varney from Guy Salmon. How are you, Rich? Okay,
I'm well, and thank you for inviting me tonight.
Our pleasure. We might as well start with what Eugene has hinted at there. Richard, of course, came along to represent Guy Salmon at our annual dinner and dance, and there was definitely dinner, and there was definitely dancing. And there were definitely awards. You organised the event, Hugh. Any thoughts on how it went?
Probably the best of the three that I've been involved in.
It was very good.
Yeah, you know, first of all, big thanks to Richmond Hill Hotel for hosting us. Yeah. We did make a lot of noise with the band. Obviously, the local Twickenham band, Big Tackle, was on show, so that obviously kept the night going. But yeah, probably about 90 of us there in the end. A couple of pullouts from the previous days, mainly because people were ill. Some of the wives heard that it was going to be a big one, so they stayed home. But yeah, it was a really good night. What were your thoughts, Dan?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was really good. It's always interesting to watch cricket players give speeches, right? Because some take to it like ducks to water, quite frankly, like you do, Hugh. You stand there and you're nice and confident. Others, you can see that they've been building up to this, and it's almost like a traumatic experience having to stand there and talk relatively sensibly to their mates. But I thought it was great. I hear rumours that there were some folks who were still drinking at 7 a.m. the next morning. Obviously, you know, sort of just drinking within the hotel and then slowly going to bed, doing nothing other untoward other than that. But when you're drinking at 7 a.m. the next day, it sounds like it's been a good night to me.
Definitely. Well done to those guys. That was not me, by the way.
Meaning I was on the road to Tranmere at 7 a.m. the next morning to watch.
Rich, was that you, by the way?
Yeah. I was being completely professional, obviously. So I was there to network and find new opportunity and meet some new friends and old friends.
Which before midnight, I think was very possible. After that, yeah. I'm not sure you've got too much.
They were disappointing conversations after midnight.
That's probably the best time to get people.
Yeah, probably, actually.
Well, Eugene had his little machine to take payments. And I was waiting for someone to try and pay for half of the tour, you know, on that thing, you know. Your 500 quid, Hugh. I assume that didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen, okay. Unfortunately. Okay, but well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was always a long shot.
Absolutely.
Tonight's pod, slightly different. Obviously, Richard's here tonight. We're really pleased to be able to talk to him because one of the things that cricket clubs do is try and embed themselves in the local community. And we do that for a number of reasons. One, because we see ourselves as playing an important function, getting people out and playing sport. And secondly, cricket's a social game. You know, it takes a long time. You have to make sure that all parties involved realise what they're getting themselves into. And therefore, we require support. We require support from non-players. We require support from supporters. And, of course, from sponsors. And Guy Salmon's been a really generous supporter of Twickenham CC over the last few years. And you know, we're hopeful that's going to continue into the future. I should say a little bit about your cricketing background, Richard. There is one, isn't there?
It won't take long, my background. It started in 1987 and finished probably in 1988 when I decided that golf was a much easier game and less time consuming.
Yeah.
Well, ish.
Yeah, I guess it could be time consuming. I do know a lot of passionate golfers who spend a lot of time on the golf course, but rumour has it you're not such a bad golfer, right?
I'm a better golfer than I am cricketer.
Yeah.
Yes, I still play golf, but... No, I've got a massive long association with this club. As I say, back in the late 80s, my brother was a very keen cricketer, a very talentless cricketer. But, you know, good times in those early days and, you know, delighted to still have an association with a club sort of.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Reg. I mean, he did get double figures once a season or so. I mean,
in
did...
a season or.
Oh, perhaps that was the one. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about drop catches there, but you know.
Oh dear, the knives are out this evening, aren't they? We better move on. I mean, I also remember you in a previous life working at Harlequins, and of course, we had games against Harlequins in Cricket Week, didn't we?
We did. Enjoyable back in occasions. The day. Yeah. It was quite interesting. I can remember when. Our chief exec at the time was a chap, who, Mark Evans, who said, you know, I don't mind the players getting involved in cricket, but, you know, you've got to be mindful that we have got a game on Saturday. And when I sort of put the word out that we're looking for some players, it was amazing that people like Will Greenwood and were really keen that the ball might actually trip them up a bit, and that wasn't what he wanted.
Cricket ball on the head can do a little bit of damage, particularly if And I guess Will Greenwood at the time would have been one of the superstars.
I guess that's
even I, as a non-rugby fan, have heard of Will Greenwood, so he must have been good.
No, he's a good player.
Yeah. Good stuff. And you know, since then, of course. You moved on to Guy Salmon, and Guy Salmon has been, as I say, a long-term supporter of Twickenham CC. And you've got... Now, I drive in from Ascot pretty regularly, and I see looming on my left every time I go through Sunbury Cross what looks like a brand-new spanking premises, right?
We have got a statement site that's very much...
I like that phrase.
Yes, great, and it's nearly built. We should hopefully be in there at the beginning of December. It's quite a beast of a site. It's... I think it's over 5 stories. We've got car parking for 400 vehicles, and you know, it's going to be an absolute game changer. At the moment, we're in a very quirky kind of part of Kingston in Thamesditton. Lovely site, but clearly we've outgrown that.
And slightly off the beaten track, I guess, in terms of through traffic, right?
I mean, you've got no vehicle parking. Right. And it's the whole customer experience is not great. Whereas Sunbury, you know, we've got brilliant car parking. We've got, you know, the ability to show off so much product, which is something we just haven't been able to do in our existing site. Well,
so. I suppose when you look at it, when you probably started, I don't know when Thamesditton, Guy Salmon Thamesditton was actually formed, but I don't know if it was formed there. But you look at when you go back all those years, you probably find that that was a big enough premises then.
Well, the world's changed in 70 years. We joined there.
Is it 70? Wow.
70 years ago. Yeah. So it's fair to say, yeah.
Well, it's changed in 7, hasn't it? That alone 70. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And I guess the next few years are going to be changing as well with, you know, electrification and different models being introduced.
So it's interesting you say that. I mean, as some of our listeners will know, I spent a bit of time in China over the summer, and I saw a number of your products that seemed to me to be very big in China. You know, the Land Rovers are everywhere. Jaguar as a brand's got a fantastic reputation. But that's not the whole story, is it? The future is probably going to be, as you say, electric cars. I guess you do that?
Very much so. I mean, the electric story is one that's gathering immense pace. You know, we've got a fully electric Jaguar at the moment, the Jaguar I-Pace. Entry prices are around about...
I-Pace?
Not E, I. We have got an E-Pace, but that's a different car, just to confuse the market slightly. But, you know, a starting price around about £60,000, but people still don't really understand that there's some government incentive to buy that car. So there's a £3,500 grant. You know, there's charging installation at home that's got some subsidy up to sort of £500.
And I'm right in saying what the big outlay is, the car, the charging over time is going to save you a shed load of money, right?
It will. Yeah. So just do the maths on how much you pay for your fuel. But I think the other key thing is, if you're a business user, you know, your business in kind or benefit in kind tax as of next April goes to zero. So you will not pay any company car tax. And that's a game changer.
Is that specifically on the electric vehicles, though?
Only electric vehicles.
Yeah. I suppose the one thing I do, obviously, a fair amount of driving for business. What about, you know, hypothetically, I buy one of your I-Paces. I've got a couple of customers that are in the middle of, you know, of the UK. What is the distance on those cars like? Will I be able to get there?
You will. The range varies in terms of how you drive.
How I drive.
Vehicle.
So very short for me.
So excellent. Good. I mean, there are charging stations everywhere. There's a facility called ZapMaps, which you can install into your car.
I see them in motorway services as well.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And the range of the car is 292 miles, I think, to be precise.
Yeah.
So.
And the charging time for them? So hypothetically, I stop up at one of these services, grab a coffee.
It depends if you use a rapid charger. You can do a quick charge, and if you do a 3-point pin charge, it's going to take fairly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A long time. So it's about planning your journeys, really. You know, if you're a business user who's travelling to I don't know, Scotland, it's probably not the car for you. But if you're zipping around town and you know, you've got those home charging facilities, a fantastic vehicle.
It's also worth remembering, you know, I was in Central London yesterday and Extinction Rebellion were doing their thing. They didn't really offend me. But, I mean, regardless of what we think of Extinction Rebellion, the point is that we're going to have to do stuff to make sure we don't completely annihilate the planet. So in the long term, petrol and diesel, yesterday's news. I don't quite know what today's news is going to be because I don't know anything about it. But it sounds to me like in 10 years' time, electric will be as obvious to everybody as a laptop is to me now. And yet, of course, 10 years ago, I never had one.
And Jaguar and Land Rover have announced that every car will be available in a hybrid or electric derivative over the next couple of years. So, I mean, that's a massive statement. So, yeah, changing times.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic initiative, I have to say. Yeah.
What's the cheapest electric car that you do?
The I-Pace.
That's the I-Pace.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which is a bargain, £60,000. But to get that into some sort of context, I did a little bit of research on, you know, equivalent cars. Well, not equivalent cars, but the general market. Mm. And, you know, a new Corsa now is £30,500. A Vauxhall Corsa. So they're not...
30? 3-0?
3-0. So...
Not buying, you know, one of them then.
What about the equivalent electric cars? Things like, you know, I don't know, Teslas, or I don't know what other vehicles are out there in terms of electric, but, you know, I'm gathering you guys are competitively priced in that
market. We are, yeah, absolutely. I personally speaking, and a lot of people that we talk in the marketplace, you could not say that Tesla don't make good cars. They do. I think we make better cars. Their battery technology is, you know, I won't say superior, but they kind of invented it. So therefore, their technology may be a little bit further down the line. I don't know. But I know that everybody I speak to thinks the I-Pace is a fantastic looking vehicle.
And also, to be fair, I mean, even people who don't know much about cars know that Jaguars and things like that are decent brands. You've got no problem with the quality of the brand, have you? So no. You know you're getting a decent product.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a brand we're proud of and famous for.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. And it's definitely on display. Like you, Dan, I occasionally go past the 316.
Cricket tees,
correct, yep. From Costco.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to ask, you know, which building is bigger? Is Costco bigger, or is the new... it'll be something that I'll come and visit you on, and I'll do a quick pace of it. But well, yeah.
I don't want just you, Eugene. I need Hewlett-Packard. I need everybody. I mean, that's the market we're in now. We absolutely need to get more and more people into our showroom because we're confident that once they're in there, they will buy our product.
So when do you think you're going to be opening?
Well, we hope beginning of December. But, you know, when you build something that costs £20 million or in excess of £20 million, there's a lot of variables, you know, and the guys have been working hard to meet that kind of deadline. So things will be...
How long will the transition take from the old to the new building? Is it like a planned transition? Is there...
Well, I guess we've been planning for it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think it'll have its challenges, but really, you know, we're hoping to literally move out on the Friday and be ready for business on the Saturday morning.
It's so you can literally book your car in for a service at Thames Ditton and drive through to Sunbury and get your car serviced there the following week.
And that's what we, you know, we're educating our, you know, current customer base that we're moving.
Yeah.
And also obviously as a part of my role as a business development manager, getting out, seeing more and more businesses to remind them that we're coming to new territory.
Yeah, I suppose it is a new territory completely because you're moving from Thames Ditton, where you've had a very good install base for a number of years.
Yeah.
Now with the 316 being as popular as it is, you know, I think that's going to be an advert on its own. So you're going to have people from Richmond, Twickenham, Hampton, you know, pretty much everywhere along the 316, you're going to have hopefully the possibility of new customers.
Absolutely. And that's important to us. You know, we've got to sell more cars. You clearly we've made a massive investment, and we've got to capitalize on a new market and not neglect our old market. And that's why we're still have a presence in the likes of Kingston through our partnerships with, you know, Cobham Rugby Club and some of the sailing clubs where we've built that relationship over years. And you know, I've been quite clear with some of the partnerships that I manage that we're not going to neglect you. We are going to remain faithful to the area that served us so well for the last 70 years.
Yeah. But I'd have thought as well, Jaguar loyalists, if that's a phrase, they're going to travel over to Sunbury, aren't they? It's not a million miles away, isn't it?
It's an easy journey.
Yeah.
You know, and we actually, you know, I think a lot of people have been nervous about travelling from the likes of Kingston through to Sunbury have been, you time that journey well and the weekends, it's an achievable journey.
Yeah. Well, having said that road is a bit of a nightmare at times, but as are most in South West London.
Indeed. So, well, it took me 16 minutes to get here this evening, which is...
You know, I was going to ask, I have never bought a new car, to be honest with you. I've never even thought about buying a new car. And that there's no real reason for that. I've just always felt that it was a bit beyond my range. So I wouldn't even know. Do you need an appointment? If I turned up, I'd just be able to wander around?
You'd be welcome Absolutely. I would suggest, actually, if we do know you're coming, it's good that we do, so we can prepare for you in terms of vehicle products and knowledge. And
then I'll tell the missus I might end up with a £60,000 debt.
It's no, not a debt.
No, it's not a debt, it's an investment.
Investment.
Yeah, yeah. So joking apart, though, appointments, you know, to be recommended, but not in any way necessary.
Not at all, yeah. And you know, part of the interesting phase that we're going through as a business at the moment is we're establishing a fleet and business team, of which I'll be a member of, and that's about finding opportunity in the business sector. Yeah. But from a retail perspective, you know, most people, you know, don't actually book by appointment. Yeah. I mean, we would encourage, as I said, but absolutely, you know, we've got something like in the Land Rover side alone, I think there's 22 sales execs. So you're not going to be disappointed, and you will certainly be able to find somebody who will be, you know, readily available, which is not always the case in smaller businesses. You know, that's the site we're going to. So.
Yeah. And in terms of the business market, what's the most popular vehicle that you sell?
Well, probably to the masses, the Jaguar XE, seen as a kind of a fleet vehicle. And I think, again, almost telling the customer about the incentives that JLR provide. There's small, medium enterprise discounts available to business users and companies. We do fleet discount plans as well. So, you know, if you are a reasonable size business that requires half a dozen cars, you know, there's some chunky discounts available. Yeah. I mean, we've just...
Worth having a discussion at least.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's margin in our sort of profit as well, so we would probably give a little bit of that away. But you know, for the manufacturer to give those support terms up to about 18% in certain vehicles is pretty
hefty.
Pretty hefty.
In terms of social responsibility, bringing it back to the cricket clubs. You know, what's the plan? I mean, you guys are obviously moving. You're going to maintain a lot of the relationships. You're going to look for some new ones in the area now that you've moved, or
well, yeah, Eugene, we have to be. We're a big business. Our CSR work is important, and I think we're quite proud of that. We have a lot of variety to that. You know, we've got work experience students that we're talking to come into the business for a week. We had Hinchley Wood when we were in Thames Ditton. I've already started talking to other schools locally. Lady Ellen Hollis, I've just talked to only today. And we do get a day off a year to do charitable work. You know, we're big players in that, and you know, some of the work we've done has been quite interesting and varied, and makes it quite, you know, if you're working for an employer who wants you to engage with, I don't know, Felt and Borstal, they recently asked us if we could get involved because they know we're coming into the new area.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exciting, you know, and you just don't know where these kind of relationships end. And it's opportunity. You start talking to people, and it's a bit like going to your dinner on Friday. Yeah. You know, it wasn't worky. It was easy to talk to people, and there's opportunity that's come out of that. So, if you see enough people, knock on enough doors, and do the proper follow-up, there's opportunity for our cars.
And I guess ultimately, young people looking at the car business, there's a lot of fascinating engineering goes on there. I'm not a natural scientist, but I mean, your car and you know cars in the range that you're selling, they're fantastic pieces of engineering, aren't they? They purr.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Well, the electric car doesn't purr.
They don't even purr anymore, actually. Yeah.
But yes,
it's a silent purr.
The SBR, the F types and F paces are very nice cars that do purr. I'll grant you that.
Okay. That's a fair point about electric cars. Of course, they are silent, aren't they?
Don't they make speakers that make noise or something like that? I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, there is some sounds that come out. You can... a special sport mode and it makes the sound so that everybody can hear your electric car.
I once saw a marvellous clip of some people in China where a guy was on an electric moped and he wanted to make some noise, so he had a mate with a trombone on the back. Why would anyone ever think of doing it apart from, you know, being a left field gang? But I always find it fascinating that the Jaguar brand is so strong there, but it's the quality of the engineering, quality of the product.
And we've been around for a long time.
Yeah, people can trust you.
We are trusted. We're proud that we've still got some great manufacturing going on in the country, as well as in Austria and in Northern Europe and in other places in Europe. So, yeah, it's just good to keep that longevity of, you know, a British brand.
Can I ask one question? I'm not sure we're going to go with this one. Brexit?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Do we really want to go there, or is it just too tough to call?
it's tough to call, yeah. But you know, life goes on.
Got to deal with
it. You know, we've got to deal with it, and there is definitely an uncertainty in the marketplace within vehicles, but then that's no different to
any other sector
that works that you're in.
And also, don't think ultimately, if you're a Jaguar driver, you still want to buy a Jaguar car, and you've probably got just enough disposable income to deal with whatever Brexit adds on top of that, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. It's a guess, isn't it? Yeah. We're not too sure.
But. Well, I last checked the news at about midday, and it could all have changed since then, given what's...
Oh, there's been an update since then, surely.
Yeah, one would think so, you know.
5 hours later.
Yeah, a friend of mine at work's doing a course on the politics of Brexit. Nightmare. It just changes by the hour. I don't know how he's doing it. Cool. So in terms of future relationships, what have we got planned, Hughes? Have we got any events next year where Guy Salmon's likely to be around and present? And
those are still in the talks, obviously. So okay. We've just finished the season, so it's one of these things where let's reflect and see what worked well. Obviously, having Guy Salmon and Rich on the podcast is obviously a great privilege for us to get you on. Obviously the theory is that we want to do more with you. So, you know, we'll get you on again.
Well, I think now that we're kind of migrating from Thamesden to Sunbury, we're absolutely closer to you.
Yeah.
It's going to make things a little bit logistically easier.
Yeah.
And I think, just talking out loud, I mean, absolutely, we'd love the opportunity next year to very much be a part of match day here. So we can occasionally bring down a product range of vehicles to showcase, you know, and I don't think most people realise, you know, Twickenham Cricket Club have got 250 members-ish, I don't know the exact number, and I know how warmly they greet me, and I'd like to think that when I get, you know, access to some colleagues who would also support here, then that we're going to start dialogues with you.
Now, if you include juniors and parents, then you can easily double that 250 as well. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are linked in one way, shape or form to the club, and that's because, you know, there's a lot of cricket played around.
And understanding the sort of, more understanding the members and the...
Yeah.
We understand the demographics clearly, but equally, you know, there's lots and lots of business owners and people who will drive company cars and who will be able to potentially link me in just to the fleet managers so I can have basic conversations around who supplies your cars and can we supply and can we quote. It's not too complicated.
Yeah. And we'd strongly encourage anyone who's listening to, you know, if they need Rich's details, to approach yourself,
or
me, or simply go online, I guess. It's all online,
I'm sure.
Absolutely,
We also do a number of stuff. So Rich sends me quite a bit of stuff and I put it out via our website. So we direct message pretty much all of our members, you know, so there's a lot of them that get that message. We also do the news articles on the website, which then goes on to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So we do the social presence for Guy Salmon too. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it's not just this podcast that it's going to be going out on. We're also going to be doing some you know, announcements on behalf of Guy Salmon to help them.
And a genuine big thanks to Hughes, because he's, you know, you have been very good at communicating information on our behalf. You know, sales events, we'll have a black event that comes up in November.
Remember a few of those,
And, you know, it's absolutely key just educating people that these opportunities are out there.
Yeah.
So thank you and long may it continue.
Well, likewise.
And we also wouldn't do it unless we thought the product was halfway decent.
Yeah.
We're not going to, you know, flog anything that just for the sake of it. You know, we know that people quite like your cars.
Yeah.
I quite like your cars, and I'm thinking more and more about electric cars. So, you know, I mean, but joking apart, people don't often realise that the opportunities are there for them.
Yeah.
You know, Jaguars might be what other people drive, and it's not always like that, is it? They are accessible vehicles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I really like the idea when we're in the showroom of kind of inviting you guys down to the showroom along with your members, because we've got some fantastic facilities within the site as well that you could use for, I don't know, a committee meeting or whatever.
We don't have committee dinners, just in case anyone thinks there's a secret agenda.
What about the AGM, Dan? Thinking out loud, yeah? You know,
but generally, that's an interesting idea because, of course, this pavilion is well used, and we don't always have we do have double bookings.
We do, yeah.
So that's an interesting point. Yeah.
Well, I'll be sort of key to making sure that we get the right people into the showroom from a business and community perspective. So, you'll be welcome.
Excellent. Yeah, that'll be really good.
Rich, thanks for coming along tonight. I think that's been really interesting, and as I say, I've actually learned quite a lot there as someone who's vaguely interested but didn't know much. And I think there'll be quite a few people who've listened who are in the same boat. So. Again, thanks very much. thanks to you, Yush.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to say, you know, thanks to Richard for the support, and long may it continue. You know, obviously we've been talks already for next year, so you know, things will progress as it goes along. But yeah, I mean, we will definitely be part of Nice Salmon in terms of helping them with their move. So yeah, just wanted to say thank you very much.
But, and lastly, most importantly, we do of course have a Twickenham CC veteran side, Richard, and I'm afraid you do qualify, and I have whites that are pretty much your side. So as and when you're keen, just let me know.
That's not going to happen. Thank you very much for inviting me, and as I say, you'll be very welcome to Sunbury on Thames in the very near future. And good luck to all of the members for a happy and energising winter, and get ready for the spring.
Ready for 2020.
Yeah, absolutely.
All good.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, cheers, fellas.
Cheers, Ed.
Cheers, thank you.